Salvation Now podcast, where you'll discover and be equipped with keys from the Word of God that will pave the way to God's unlimited blessing in your life. Now, here's your host, Evangelist TJ Malkanji.
How to take every thought captive. In today's broadcast, I'm going to be dealing with the subject on how to take invasive thoughts, anti-biblical, anti-scriptural thoughts captive to the obedience of the Word of God. I'm going to show you how you can gain dominion in the area of your mind, where you can take charge over your thought life. Now, I know that for sure, because I was once this person, and I know for sure there's people watching me right now, that you may be living and experiencing a thought life that is in shambles, that there are times where all of a sudden it seems like one thought comes in, it pierces through, that stimulates this vicious cycle of thinking that inevitably throws you in to this panic mode where you have heart palpitations and you start feeling like you can't control your thoughts anymore. It's like an avalanche going down a mountain, just overtaking you, where you feel like you just want to lock yourself up into a dark room, shut the drapes down, and just put your head into a pillow and wait for this onslaught of hell to finally just be over with. Now, I used to be that guy. I used to have these attacks, these demonic attacks. And why do I call them demonic attacks? Well, simply because in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says that we do not war after flesh and blood. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It is against unseen forces in heavenly realms, against spiritual forces of darkness, and against powers and principalities that you don't see. Now, you have an enemy in life, and your enemy is not your mother-in-law, your enemy is not your brother, your enemy is not your sister, your enemy is not your husband or your wife or your boss or employer. Your enemy is an unseen enemy. It's a spiritual enemy. His name, and the only scripturally acknowledged enemy that we have, is named the devil. The Bible says he has a threefold mission concerning your life. The thief, John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief does not come except to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the way that he does this is not by a brute show of strength. He does not come in and arm wrestle you to the ground until you're finally submitted to his will. The way he does it, and we can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 25 and 26, this is how Paul acknowledges the enemy and exposes his strategy towards God's people. Verse 25, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, if you can pop that in the comment section to help people that are maybe going to take notes further along or later in this broadcast. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25 and 26, this is what the Bible says: in humility, correct those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, now pay special attention to what I'm about to say, so that they, who's they? People that are in need of correction in their thinking, correction, renewal of mind and how they've been thinking, their patterns of thought, so that they may know the truth, and that, verse 26, they, those who obviously do not know the truth or may be in ignorance of the truth, not all the truth, but maybe a certain area in which they may be deficient of truth. I know I've always said this, and if you're a student of this broadcast, you know I've said this often. Faith is compartmentalized. Truth, there are different categories of truth. Obviously, Jesus is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. But the Bible doesn't just have the truth of the gospel in it. The Bible doesn't just have the truth concerning finances in it. The Bible doesn't just have the truth of the enemy. The Bible literally talks on every aspect, on anything that's true. The Bible brings forth truth. in every aspect of life. It doesn't just talk about the truth of sin, although it does dive into that. It doesn't just talk about the truth of heaven. It talks about the truth of a redeemer. It talks about the truth of how to take charge over your thought life. It talks about the truth on divine healing. Faith is compartmentalized because the word is compartmentalized. And any area that you are seemingly in defeat, you can know that that's an area that you need to build yourself up in the truth of God's word so that you can have victory over that thing. I'll give you an example of this. The Bible says this in Proverbs 24, and I believe it's verse 10. It says, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. If you fail in the day of battle, and today we're speaking about the battlefield of the mind. If you fail in the battlefield of the mind, the scripture says that your strength in that area may be too small. Well, the good news is if your strength is too small in an area, you don't have to stay small in strength in that area. You can build yourself up on your most holy faith. You can strengthen your spiritual muscles in any area that the word of God speaks on. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 5, a wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. So connect those two scriptures together. We have this. If you fail in the day of adversity, if you fail in your thought life, your strength is too small. But a man of knowledge increases strength. That's why we take time to do these broadcasts, because I'm projecting the truth of God's word, which Paul says, when you come to know the truth, things happen. And as I project the truth of God's word, as I've always told you that listen to me on this broadcast, we are not sitting down to be informed. We are not sitting down just to hear a lecture. We are not sitting down just to hear something new. We are not philosophers or stoic philosophers. We are sitting down to receive divine truth so as to provoke transformation in your life. Hallelujah. The Bible is not an information booklet. The Bible is a transformational document. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. It's living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can pierce the division of spirit, soul, bone, and marrow. So Paul says, when you come to the knowledge of the truth of God's word, here's what you can expect to happen. Verse 26, that they may come to their senses, they may wake up, the eyes of their heart may be illuminated so that they can come out of darkness. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 119, 153, I believe it is. The entrance of God's word brings light. The entrance of God's truth and his word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. John chapter 1, verse 5 says, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness can't do anything about it. So when you come to your senses, it's another fancy way of saying the light has dawned. Hallelujah. I want you to make this confession today in the comment section. Say, the light has come. Write that down in the comment section. The light has come. Make that confession today. Let the devil announce to hell today that the stronghold of darkness in the area of your mind is ending today. Today, the light has come. When you've come to your senses, this is what Paul says will happen. You will escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So the devil takes people captive. And the way he takes people captive is not by a brute show of sheer strength, but it's by getting people to believe things that simply are not true. That's essentially what a stronghold is. A stronghold is when somebody believes something that is false, but believes it to be true. And over time, it actually desensitizes a person's ability to receive truth, and it creates a mental prism where people become desensitized to truth. That's why Paul said we need to take time to cast down the strongholds, to demolish the strongholds. The Greek word for demolish actually means to bring it to nothing, to destroy something to smithereens, to bring it to nothing, to destroy it to a point where it never even seemed like it existed before. That's what God's going to do through this broadcast today. We're going to destroy the long-held strongholds of the devil that have plagued your mind. And from today, the renewal process of the Word of God in your mind is going to take place. You're going to put off the old way of thinking. You're going to put off the old man and his thoughts. You know, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You're going to forsake the unrighteous thoughts of your past. And God is, by the Spirit, going to renew your mind in conformity to the Word of God. And today is going to be the day where you move into mental freedom, whether the devil likes it or not. If you believe that for you and your family, I want you to write a glorious amen in the comment section. So the Bible says the devil takes people captive in his snares by getting them away from truth. Let me make this very clear to you. Satan has only ever had one strategy. Satan has only ever had one blueprint, one plan. In the Garden of Eden, it was revealed, and it's the same repeated plan that he's used throughout history to suppress people, get them out of Eden, which represents God's best, and bring them into his captivity. And that plan is this: to bring forth a suggestion to you that would cause you to be distracted and be deflected from the truth to a lie. If the devil can get you to believe a lie, he's got you exactly where he wants you. Now, you might be thinking, how could I believe a lie? If I see something as a lie, I'm surely not going to believe it. But that's simply not true. There are many people who can say, I know this is truth, and I know the thought I'm having is a lie. They know, they can discern whether something's true or something's a lie. But here's where a stronghold is formed. It's not in, the devil doesn't really care if you know what the truth is. The devil starts to tremble when you begin to believe the truth over the lie. Hallelujah. So here's what the devil, his plotting has always been, his blueprint, his strategy. It's to deflect you from the truth you may even well know. You might even have the knowledge of it. I know this is in the Bible. I know God wants me well. I know God wants me healthy. I know God wants to save me. And yet I still think I'm not saved. And yet I still believe the devil can make me sick. And yet I still believe all these things. See, here's the thing. He brings forth a suggestion. And if you allow that thing to take root in your heart and you choose to believe the lie over the truth, that is precisely the moment a stronghold is formed. Now, let me go into the Greek word of stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn with me there if you have your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. This is Paul's words. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And I'm telling you, stay tuned to the end because I'm going to pray. We're going to bring forth scriptural principles today that are going to help you to bring a practical application of the message and what the Word of God says. Because essentially, James chapter 1 says this, that if we just hear the Word and do nothing about it, it does us no good. The Bible says, don't be a forgetful hearer. Don't be one who looks into the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. He says, but whosoever, James 1, whosoever will look continuously and perfectly into the law of liberty, which is the Word of God, that man will be blessed. So I'm going to provide you principles today wherein if you adapt them into your life and apply them to your living, they're going to be practical. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be very spiritual today. I'm going to be very spiritual, but in spiritual, in being spiritual, I'm going to bring very practical application. As you do that, it's going to help you long term. But I'm going to pray at the end. That whatever cycle of vicious thoughts, whatever stronghold the enemy's put on your mind, that today, whatever anxiety, whatever fear, whatever depression that has grown in you through seeds of doubt and seeds of deception and seeds of anxiety the enemy has sown continuously into your mind, today those trees are going to be uprooted. They're going to be uprooted. God's going to give you a brand new clean slate, and you'll be able to replace it with truth from today. So stay tuned to the end, because God has a miracle for you. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds in this passage is the Greek word okumera. Okumera, and it literally means to fortify. In ancient times, this is where Paul gets this from. In ancient times, a stronghold was a building, a fortress built on top of the highest peaks of a city. It was a sort of citadel that was surrounded by reinforced walls up to, get this, 20 feet thick. Imagine a wall that was fortified several times over until it became 20 feet thick. That's a huge wall. It was an impregnable wall, an impenetrable wall, and an unapproachable wall. It's where people, if there was an invasion, if there was some sort of army that was coming in to capture politicians, diplomats, or anybody that was of elite status in society, they would rescue those elites and they would rescue them into the okumera, the stronghold, so that they would be unattainable. Nobody could reach them. Paul said this in comparison, and he used that word very, very deliberately and intentionally. When Paul said we are to cast down these strongholds, he used it very intentionally, the word okumera, because he was trying to compare the mental strongholds that people face, and that are very real, to this physical citadel that people in that time would have seen with their very own eyes. So when Paul said okumera, they automatically, mental illustration, a picture came into their mind, and they saw, whoa, that's how the devil works. It's not just one simple wall, it's wall upon wall, lie upon lie, deception upon deception. And so Paul is saying that when you believe the devil's lies, you are actually helping him to build up brick upon brick these okumera, these strongholds in your mind, fortified as you choose to dwell on the lie. And over time, as these lies are accepted and believed, as these thoughts that are unscriptural and anti-biblical and anti-truth are accepted and believed, these strongholds become so fortified that the individual actually has a hard time believing truth, receiving truth for themselves. And that's why I'm going to pray for you at the end of this broadcast that God would destroy those strongholds, so that you one more time, that you... Maybe for a long time, maybe it's been a while, but today your heart is going to be once more opened up to be sensitive to God's truth in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Proverbs that a wise man scales the city of the mighty and he brings down the trusted strongholds. That's what we're going to do in this teaching. We're going to bring down the trusted strongholds. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul, every time he talks about warfare against the devil, he doesn't call it an optional thing. He doesn't say, hey, some people are in this warfare, but other people are exempt. If you are alive, if you have a pulse in your heart, if you have a pulse in your veins, if you are breathing, you have been enlisted into an army and you are in warfare. And here's where the warfare happens, between your nose and your hairline. It's the battlefield of the mind. That's where the war is fought. That's where the war is won. That's where the war can be lost. And so it's asinine to assume a position of passivity in war when your enemy is intent on taking you out. That's why maybe you just were oblivious to this. Maybe you just thought, man, these thoughts are just perhaps, you know, a regular thing of life. That ultimately, our brains are wired a certain way. Some people are wired for anxiety. Some people are wired for positivity, thinking, no. Everyone, whether someone's a positive person or a pessimist, everyone has to fight the battlefield of the mind. I always say this, and it encourages a lot of people because it encouraged me when I heard this. Because I used to hear of guys like Kenneth Hagin, and I used to watch, you know, Lester Sumner, all these giants of the faith, read Smith Wigglesworth's books, and I used to think, man, these guys were giants. These guys never had a negative thought. These guys never had a doubtful thought. These guys were supernatural. The Lord reminded me of James chapter 5, where it says that Elijah was a man with the same nature as us, and yet he prayed and had victory in his praying. The Lord reminded me that these guys, these Hagin, Wigglesworth, whoever you can look up to in the faith, these heroes of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, Caleb, Joshua, Daniel, David, Abraham, Enoch, who didn't even die because of how strong his faith was. The Lord reminded me that these men all had the same brain we have. These men all had the same battlefield of the mind that we have to deal with today. These men all had the same flesh, the same carnal nature, and the same devil that was trying to suppress them from arriving at Canaan land, God's promised land. Here's the secret that they had, and I'm going to get to it today. They understood how to take the thought captive. They understood how to subdue wrong thinking and steer up in their spirit and in their mind right thinking. They understood how to go into battle in the region of their mind. And I'm going to go through that today, because let me just keep on reading here in verse 5. So he says, pull down strongholds. Verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I've heard it. Many times I've had people, you know, especially when I was dealing with panic attacks, anxiety, and wrong thinking, I had people tell me, you got to take those thoughts captive, brother. You got to learn how to take that thing captive. And I would say, bless God. Absolutely. I know I do. That's wonderful. Great advice. How do I do it? It's one thing to know how to take it. It's like, hey, you should go and preach. Great. How do I preach? Tell me how to do it. Hey, you should really change your oil on your car. Thank you, Sherlock. How do I do it? Why don't you help me do it? Unfortunately, there's a lot of preaching today where it's all diagnosis. There's no cure. It's all diagnosis. It's all, here's what's wrong with America. Here's what's wrong with Canada. Here's what's wrong with your family. Here's what's wrong in your marriage. Here's what's great. I'm all for diagnosis because, and I'll say this, before we move on, the battle or the enemy, you don't know how to define, you won't know how to defeat. What you don't know how to confront, you'll never conquer. What you don't know how to resist will always remain in your life. So I'm all for defining what's wrong. I'm all for acknowledging what I need to resist. But I also want to know how to resist. Hallelujah. And so that's what I'm going to provide you with today. Three ways to take a thought captive to the obedience of God's word. How do I take a thought captive, gain dominion in the area of my mind, and actually live a life where I have mental freedom, where joy becomes the order of the day instead of depression, where the peace of God that surpasses all understanding becomes my reality instead of the dark, depressing thoughts that have inundated my mind up until now. And I want to remind you of this before we move on to those three points. You might feel right now, you might feel like there's no light at the end of this tunnel. You might feel like this stronghold is indestructible. You might feel like it's near impossible to ever have victory in your mind, because perhaps for a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, this has been life for you. This has been your reality. You've never known a day of mental peace. You've never known a day of joy. You've never known a day of serenity. You've never known a day of calm. And the devil uses that idea of you'll never break free from this hopelessness that the Bible says makes the heart sick. He uses that to get you to have your hands hang low and your feeble knees and just say, this must be my lot in life. This must be what my hand of cards that's been dealt to me. This must be how life, how life is going to be the rest of my life. This must just be God's plan. It's not God's plan. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. God has no plans for you to be anxious about anything. The Bible says whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is excellent, these are the things that God wants to dominate your mind so that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus from today onward. It's important to take inventory of your thoughts because as a man thinketh, so is he. Your thoughts are going to lead you in life. Let me say it a different way. Your life is going in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life, whether you know it or not, you're on a train, baby. And that train is going in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so this leads me to point one. How do you take a thought captive? One, you need to identify the source of that thought that you may be thinking. And it's not impossible to do. It's very easy to do. See, the Bible's not just God's provision of truth. Because it is the belt of truth, it also serves as a lie detector. Hallelujah. I want you to write that in the comment section. My Bible is my lie detector. My Bible is my lie detector. The Bible, because it is truth. Remember, the Bible says, Jesus prayed in John 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Jesus acknowledged God's word as truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the word of God is God-breathed. It's profitable for instruction in truth, training in truth, so that we can be adequately equipped to do everything God's called us to do. But in that it's truth, it also serves as a lie detector. So you need to take inventory of the thoughts that you're thinking today. When's the last time you actually sat down? This would be a good thing to do. Sit down, take some paper out, take a pen out, and start to write down throughout the day the negative thoughts that you think. Not for the purpose of dwelling on them even more. It's just to take inventory. Wow, you know what? I never actually realized I think about death a lot. Wow, you know what? I never realized I think about going poor a lot. You know what? I never actually realized this until I started to write it down. I think about sickness a lot. You'll realize I think about germs a lot. I think about X, fill in the blank. I think about not making it. I think about thoughts of defeat, thoughts of failure. I actually, come to think of it, I've got a fear of failure in my life that I didn't even know until I started to take inventory that this is the very thing that's held me back from taking steps of success. It's the fear of failure. So when you start to write these things down, you'll start to realize, wow, you know what? Matter of fact, turn to Philippians chapter 4. I just quoted it, but I'm going to read it. Philippians chapter 4. If this is helping you today and you're just tuning in now, you'd do me a great blessing if you'd help me get this word out to more people by sharing the broadcast on Facebook. You click that share button. If you're on YouTube and you're tuning in now, just hit that like button. Smash that like button. Let's get this word out to more people and help more people to the glory of God. Philippians chapter 4. I have my comments here, by the way, so I see you, Natasha. God bless you. Hello, Christy. Hello, Angela. Welcome, Mary. God bless you. Raph, who's also here in studio with Angel, our two helpers here today. Welcome, Lauren. Welcome, Barbara. Glad you're joining me today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Here is the litmus test. Here is the scripturally approved lie detector as to what thoughts you should allow into your mind and what thoughts you should identify as not God sent. And it's either the flesh or the devil trying to take you out. Finally, brethren, Paul lists out a filter. Any thought that comes through your mind, you should pass it through this filter. Paul lists out here in Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true. Isn't it interesting? I actually feel a pause there. Isn't it interesting that Paul says, my brethren? He's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to unbelievers. There's some people that think, well, when I came to Christ, why didn't this just automatically happen? Why didn't my mind just automatically get reset? Isn't he Prince of Peace? Why don't I just automatically have peace? Because nothing with God is automatic. Nothing. Even salvation is not automatic. Because if that were the case, Jesus would have died, raised again from the dead, ascended on high, obtained eternal redemption, and then all mankind would have automatically been saved. But no, there's something I must do. The word of God is more practical than most people make it to be. There's something I must do. There's something that I have to in faith do for God to do his part. So Paul just talked about this peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That's the picture God wants to paint of a reality that he wants you to have. But then Paul goes on to the practical side and he says, if you want to get to that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, you're going to have to start putting my brethren, you Christians, yeah, not the unbeliever. I'm talking to you Christians. I'm talking to you born again people. You are going to have to put your thoughts through the filter of what I'm about to list out. Whatever things are true. Is it true about what you're thinking about? Is it in the Word of God? Is it true? You look in the mirror and you start to think all things, I'm fat. Meanwhile, you know, that's the whole anorexic problem. Anorexia is not a diet problem. Anorexia is a mental problem. They look in the mirror and they say, I'm fat. I'm fat. Meanwhile, they're 94 pounds and they're looking like a step from death. So it has nothing to do with the reality of things. It's about the lie they're choosing to believe. Is it true? Is what you are dwelling on true? If it's not, discard. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just or righteous, is it holy? Is it righteous? Some people have perverse thoughts. Some people have sexually immoral thoughts that invade their mind. If that's you, this broadcast is for you. Because this strategy that I'm giving you from the Word of God to take captive the thoughts is going to apply even in the area of sexually immoral thoughts. You'll be able to regain purity of thought once more. And remember, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Hallelujah. The devil wants to give you impure thoughts because he wants to hinder your ability to see God as he really is. But God's going to restore the sanctity of your mind today. Hallelujah. I feel that so strong. Some of you watching right now have been thinking impure thoughts. You've got sexually immoral thoughts that pervert your mind constantly, day in, day out. God is going to restore the purity of your mind today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. So that's even lovely. Like, he's getting into such broad things now, such vague terminology. Not just true, has to be in the word, just lovely. Lovely. Is that thought lovely? Is that thought enjoyable? Is that thought bringing you good vibes in another 2023 way of saying things? Whatever things are of good report, is it good news that you're dwelling on, or is it always bad news? Are you bombarded through your Twitter feed with constant reports of war and pandemics and viruses? And I'm not against being informed. I am informed. But I certainly take a guard because Proverbs 4 instructs me to guard my heart above everything else because out of it flows the issues of life. So yes, I'm informed. I know what's going on in Israel, the Middle East. I know what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. I know what's going on in other parts of the world. I know what's going on in my own city. I know what's going on in my nation. I know the politics. I'm very well informed on those things, but I certainly do not dwell on these things because it's not a good report. And you know, Paul's putting the onus on his reader. He's not saying God's going to, you know, rewire you here and you're going to... No, he says you have to make the decision today. Choose victory by choosing to reframe your thought life. Hallelujah. If there's anything virtuous or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. So who is the God of peace going to be with? Not just anyone. The God of peace is going to be with the people that take every thought through the filter of what Paul just brought forth in Philippians 4. So what are some things that we could, what are some litmus tests that we could use in discerning the source of any given thought? We read a few here, but I've written out a few more here in my notes. Number one, God's voice ushers in joy. The devil's voice ushers in depression. So if some thought stimulates depression, you can know the source of it is not God, it's the devil. Number one point in this three-part strategy of taking thoughts captive is to identify the source of your thought. It's very important to do so. How do you identify it? Does it bring you joy? No. Then it's not God. And that, if it's not sourced in God, I don't want it in me. The Bible says in John 15, 11, these things I have spoken to you that you may have my joy in you. Jeremiah 15, 16 says that the word of God was eaten and it became for Jeremiah the joy and gladness of his heart. God's word brings joy. God's word in Isaiah 55 says you will go out with joy and you'll be led out with peace. God directs you with joy and he leads you in peace. So if it doesn't bring joy, Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe. When you believe God's report, it brings forth joy. When you believe the devil's report, it brings forth a harvest of depression. So if it brings depression, don't chew it and swallow it, spit it out. Well, brother, that's hard to do. How can I just do that? We're going to get into that. Hold off. Number two, litmus test. Does it bring forth peace? Psalm 85, 8 says, I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Jesus himself said, my peace give I unto you, not as the world gives. Is what you're dwelling on bringing you peace? Give you an example. The beginning of 2020 with the pandemic happening, I did a broadcast called Peace in the Presence of a Pandemic. Peace in the presence of a pandemic, or peace in the panic of a pandemic. That's what I wrote. Peace in the panic of a pandemic. Because in 2020, when there were many uncertainties, people chose, and unfortunately a lot of Christians, chose to believe reports from WHO and all that instead of reports from the word of the Lord. And so they let that permeate and dwell in their mind, meditate in their mind and in their heart. They let that. See, thoughts can come. Thoughts come to everyone. But it's up to you whether you let it take the elevator down from your brain into your heart and you let it settle there. Kenneth Hagin used to say it this way. A bird can fly over your head, but it's up to you whether you let it build a nest in your hair. You don't have to let it build a nest. You can take a broom out and swat it out. So when 2020 hit, everyone was focusing on whatever the health analysts were reporting and everybody was in compliance to that. And anyone that chose to just have church and chose to believe Psalm 91 were criticized. Psalm 91 is not disqualified in times of pandemic. Psalm 91 is not disqualified in times of panic. Psalm 91 is not put on a shelf when there's actually reason to believe Psalm 91 for. Psalm 91, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. Psalm 91 already says, with long life, I'm going to satisfy you and show you my salvation, and no evil will befall you, nor plague or pestilence come near your tent. So what you had in 2020 was people that lost their peace because they chose to swallow the devil's lies. They did not identify the source of that lie, and because of it, they forfeited their peace. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love God's law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. The Bible says in Isaiah 48, if you would listen to me, then your peace would be like a river and your righteousness like a wave of the sea. So the devil's report or unrighteous thoughts will produce unrest. Unrighteous thoughts will produce unrest. Instability of the heart. The Bible says in Psalm 112, the righteous, their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. But when you deviate from the word of the Lord and you choose to accept thoughts that have their source in hell and have their source in this world and not in God, you deviate from that peace and you start to have unrest. Number three, God's voice ushers in encouragement. The devil's voice ushers in discouragement. Is what you are dwelling on encouraging or discouraging? See, I'm trying to make this as simple as we can to help you from today and in the future identify the source of thoughts. It doesn't have to be a, I don't know if it's God speaking. I don't know if these are my thoughts. I don't know if this is God's thoughts. It's so easy. It's not hard. I know maybe you've listened to some philosophical preaching before that everything in the Bible is complex. There's no black and white. Everything's gray with God. No, not everything's gray with God. Matter of fact, very few things are gray with God. That's why he wrote this book in black, white, and then sometimes red. It's black and white. God's not in business with the devil trying to make life more complicated for you. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says that I fear as Satan beguiled Eve or deceived Eve from by his subtlety, his craftiness, even so you should be deceived from the simplicity of the word. The word makes life simple. I really feel like that is a breath of fresh air for some of you watching me right now, because maybe you've been exposed to preaching that it really just confused the heck out of you. It just made things more complicated, and now you had a little anxiety, and then you had a lot more anxiety after listening to that guy. I want to make things very simple to you by showing you how to identify the origins of your thoughts. If it brings you encouragement, it's a God thought. If it brings you discouragement, it's not a God thought, and you're to take that thing captive. David, when he was going to go and kill Goliath, what happened? He had his own brothers and came up and said, hey, go back to your few sheep. What are you doing on the battlefield? You're not a warrior, you're a shepherd. Not even realizing that their brother was to be the greatest warrior Israel had ever seen. They tried to discourage him. Was that God speaking? No. Did that thought get stimulated by the devil? Because let me make this clear to you. Some thoughts will live and die here. Other thoughts will actually come through a third voice. Not the devil, not God, but a third voice, a person, a human. And most of the time, it's people that are very close to you that the enemy will use. Look at Jesus. Jesus turns to Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Jesus had just talked about his mission to come and go to the cross and accomplish his death, which would bring the salvation of the world. And Peter looked at Jesus and said, what are you talking about? This will never happen to you. Well, he tried to sow discouragement into Jesus to prevent him from ever actually walking out in what God called him to do. What God sent him to the earth to do. What did Jesus do? He turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus wasn't saying, Peter, you have a demon. He wasn't saying that. Jesus was saying, Peter, you have become a spokesperson for the devil. You have lent your opinion to the devil. You've allowed a devil thought to be projected through your mouth, and you have sown discouragement. Get thee behind me, Satan. There's some people that the devil uses even in close proximity to you. Might be a family member. And I'm not saying you should call them up after and say, get thee behind me, Satan, and just ruin and spoil that relationship. I am saying, however, in your mind, you should get thee behind me, Satan. You should violently react to any thought that would discourage you from following God's perfect will for your life. Hallelujah. God has a high place for you to get to. The Bible says, God told Abraham in Genesis 12, if you'll serve me, I will make you a blessing to your entire generation. You have the capacity, the potential to have generational impact through your life and your conduct. Anything, any thought, any voice that would come in and try and beat you down into small thinking is a discouraging thought. And you can know that's not God speaking. David goes on to Saul. Saul says the same thing. Goliath's been a warrior from his youth. You're a warrior for a couple of days. What do you think you're doing? He tried to back him down. See, the devil can't stop you from walking in God's perfect will. But he can use voices and thoughts to try and get you to quit, give up. But if you don't give up and instead look up, you'll go up. Hallelujah. If you don't give up, instead look up, you'll go up because God will bring you up. Hallelujah. Number four, way to discern whether it's from God or not. Does it give you strength? When you dwell, there are some things you can think on that literally have a physiological effect on you. David said it this way. He said, when I thought about my sin, it weighed me down. My vitality was drained away like the summer heat. You ever go out in a hot summer day and you don't have water? and you're doing a, you know, a hard activity, some sort of belaboring activity, and it's humid, you're in Florida heat, and you may have just woken up and had an 8 hour of great sleep in an air-conditioned room, but now you got outside and it's like that strength, your vitality was stripped away, and you feel like you're hanging on by a thread. Thoughts, unbiblical, unholy thoughts, unscriptural thoughts can actually have that physiological weight on you. Matter of fact, the spirit of heaviness that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 61, that spirit of heaviness finds its strength in anti-faith thinking. Unbelief weighs people down. I'll give you a very vivid example of this. When you see Peter walking on water and he looked away from Jesus and he looked to the storms and the raging seas, what happened? He was weighed down and he started to sink. Unbelief actually has an effect on you where you feel weight. You feel a burden come on you. That's why Jesus said, come to me all that are heavy laden and unrested. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from that burden. So the devil's voice will strip you of strength. God's voice will actually give you strength because the voice of the Lord is powerful. It's loaded with power. Number five, how to identify the devil's thoughts and your thoughts. Number five is to discern whether that thought is a faith-provoking thought or a fear-provoking thought. Is what you're thinking about causing you to believe God for more or causing you to shrivel up like a hermit crab going back into his shell? When God speaks, it's like what Abraham, the Bible says, grew strong in faith because he considered him who said, I'll make you a multitude of nations. From your seed shall come a multitude of nations. Abraham's stronghold of faith was God's voice and thinking on God's thoughts. And it caused him to grow strong in faith. Well, if what you're thinking on is not causing you to grow strong in faith, then you can know it's not. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of men, or hearing by the word of the devil. So all this comes under the subheading of identifying the source of your thoughts. Let me speed through the last two. Number six, does it bring you hope? Does it bring you hope? Does it paint your future good? That's what hope is. Hope is a painting of your future. Does it allow you to see a glorious, enviable future for your life? Or are you thinking about yourself in a casket at a premature age? Or are you thinking of yourself as, winding down? Are you seeing yourself being wound up by God or winding down? What is the thought allowing you to see the bright future God has painted from His Word? Or is it morbid, dark, gloomy, like you're going through a forest that has just fog, darkness, and trees that are laid bare? Take inventory. Because the Bible says when you eat God's word, the scripture says, when you have found it, you will have a future. Hallelujah. And your hope, your expectation will not be cut off. And number seven, finally, does the thought bring you clear direction in life? Remember, we're talking about taking thoughts captive to the obedience of the Word of God. Is what you're thinking about causing confusion, lack of clarity, throwing you off? It's like you were in an anointed atmosphere at one point, and God spoke to you so clearly as to what the next step is for you to do. But then you got out of that atmosphere, you got out of church, revival week finished, and now you're bombarded by a lack of direction. Let me tell you something that helped me. Never doubt in darkness what God clearly spoke to you in the light. Never doubt in darkness what God clearly spoke to you in the light. Because that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Is to confuse or pollute the clear direction God has given you with seeds of doubt. The Bible says when God speaks, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. The Bible says when God speaks, his word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. So God, when a thought is originated in God, it will bring direction. When the thought is originated in the devil, it will bring disclarity. So I've helped you, I hope, give you practical ways to identify the devil's voice and God's voice. Now, let's skip to point number two on what to do with that thought now. Because like I said before, diagnosis is great. Taking inventory and realizing, well, you know what? I don't think on those things which are true. I don't think on those things which are noble. I don't think on those things which are pure or excellent or worthy of praise. That's great. But let's bring a cure now. What do I do now? What practical thing can I do to gain victory over those malicious thoughts? Number two, locate a scripture that promises the opposite of what the devil is suggesting. What do I mean by that? You need to remove the lie and replace it with truth. You need to remove the lie and replace it with truth. You might have believed the lie that you can get sick and die at any time. It's a lie from the pit of hell. How do I know that? Because the Bible never promises that to me. Listen, I'm a believer of the Bible. If I'm going to believe everything God said about himself, I'm going to believe everything God said about me as well. Hallelujah. And so if I don't see something in this book as part of my inheritance, I don't receive that thing as my truth or my reality. It doesn't belong. I don't receive it. Just like a package can be delivered to your house, but if you didn't sign for that package, you can return it back to sender. Sickness is listed in the Word of God as an enemy, as a curse. Some people's thoughts that they've literally learned to believe over time is that they can get sick at any given moment and die prematurely, and we just have to accept it as God's mysterious plan for our lives. What does the Bible say? See, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think on, because as I said before, as a man thinketh, so is he. Your thoughts are way more powerful than you think. Because your thoughts are, like I said before, the vehicle on which you're riding on, and wherever that thought train's going is where you're heading. If you think you can get sick at any time, guess what? The devil will gladly accommodate you and he'll get you sick at any time. Everything you see, Jesus said it this way, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, destroys a man, renders useless a man. It's not what from the outside in that life's events are generated. It's actually from the inside out. He said from within the heart proceeds. What you see out here begins in here. If you can't think health, you'll never arrive at health. If you can't think prosperity, you'll never arrive at prosperity. If you can't think victory, you'll never arrive at victory. So if you're constantly dwelling on the possibility of getting sick, the devil's going to use that to create a cycle of sickness in your life. But instead, if you'll remove the lie right now and then replace it with truth, that Isaiah 53 says, Jesus already bore my sickness. He already carried my pains. Well, if he bore them, then I don't have to bear them. That settles it. So next time the devil tries to get me to think that I'm going to have to bear sickness, I can direct him to the truth of God's word and now recenter my focus on the truth of God's word and say, no, not for me, devil. That's not my inheritance. That's not my portion. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm blessed with believing Abraham. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and I've been redeemed unto the blessing of Abraham. Sickness is not part of my inheritance. Sickness is not part of my reality. Psalm 91 says, he'll not allow any pestilence, though it stalks in darkness, to come near my dwelling place, for he already bore my sickness, he carried my pains, and by his stripes I am healed. So now I just remove the lie and I dwell on the promises of Scripture, which are the truth. Remember, Jesus in John 8:32 says, if you are truly my disciples, if you will know the truth, Sorry, if you receive the truth, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. So how do you get set free from not just the thoughts that are deceptive, but even things you might be seeing in your own life? Because maybe sickness is not just a thought, it's a reality. You're sick in your body. Very simple. Don't just give more weight to a truth over the lie. Give all weight to the truth over the lie. Let the word of God make this decision. I made this resolution years ago. Let the word of God be the final source of authority on everything that pertains to my life and to godliness. Let the word of God govern your thinking. Let the word of God govern your life. Give it preeminence in everything. The Bible says we are to hold fast the word, which is the head that knits everything together. Give God's word preeminence. Give it the final level of authority. There's an old African song they sing, and it says, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. The devil may have used power of suggestion to say you can get sick at any time and you'll die. Take God's word as the final say and say, not me, devil. Hell to the nah, devil. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And we will see the goodness of the Lord while we're yet in the land of the living. Other things that people struggle in the area of their mind is thoughts of poverty. Are you constantly thinking about lack, penury, insufficiency, inadequacy, not having enough? Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get there because, you know, it seems pretty unrealistic given our level of income right now. You know, those are great things to talk about, but, you know, you got to remember what's coming into the bank right now. And are you constantly dwelling on lack, poverty, insufficiency, not having enough? That's the devil's ploy to try and restrict you from arriving at the prosperity plan of God. You know, in the Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 37, David says, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his children begging for bread. So you don't think, like I said before, you don't think David had thoughts of poverty? You don't think David had thoughts of lack? You don't think David had the same thoughts that come to everyone? Yeah, he did. But he did something. He reminded himself, you know what? I've been young. I'm now old now. Come to think of it, I've actually never seen the righteous forsaken. Hallelujah. I've actually never seen a righteous man begging for bread. I've seen God take good care of his own. I don't see God as some delinquent, incompetent father that doesn't know how to provide for his own household. I've only seen God bless. I've only seen God prosper people. So you have to take inventory, because I'm telling you, this is the devil's strategy to keep you poor, is to get you to think poor thoughts. There are times when I was starting out in the ministry where I was living with my wife in my parents' basement. We had no doors open for the ministry, and we were believing God for doors to open, for finances to increase so we can finally take a salary, because we didn't take all the money went towards travel expenses whenever we did travel. We didn't take a salary. We had no money. I had to believe God for cell phone bills and whatever expenses that we had, car payments, cash, all that stuff. We had no money. And there were times where I had thoughts come into my mind. This is how it's always going to be, man. Here's where you are. Here's where you'll die. Oh, I know you saw brother so-and-so. You know, he had that increase, but it's only because, you know, he has a ministry family. That's why he was able to get there. You don't have a ministry family. You'll never get there. Oh, yeah. You know, you can look at that guy where his ministry's taken off. He's able to pay crusades now by himself. But you know what? He had a big donor give to him. You don't have those big donors because nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows your name. And all of that was very true. But the fact is faithful is God who called me, and faithful is God who was going to bring it to pass. And in Deuteronomy 28, the Bible says, when you'll diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, he'll open to you the treasures of heaven, the good treasures, and you'll always be above and never beneath, always be on top and never be the tail. So though all those things in the natural, if I were to take examination of my life, were true, the word of God painted a different reality as to what my future was to look like. So you don't look to where you are now and let that guide your confession. You look to where you're going and let that guide your confession. I'm not speaking what I'm seeing with my natural vision. I'm speaking what I'm seeing with Bible vision. Hallelujah. I want you to write that in the comment section. I will have Bible vision. I will have Bible vision. And so you have to take the lie. I put it through the litmus test of Philippians 4:8. Was it true? No, certainly wasn't, that I was going to stay poor and the ministry was never going to increase financially. I was never going to take a salary. I was going to have to get another job, eventually just be a bivocational minister or something like that. No, that, I knew that wasn't God's will for my life. Was it true? No. Was it excellent? No. Was it lovely? Did it make me feel good? No. So what did I do? I ripped it down and I replaced it with a truth. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I replaced it with a truth that if I'll diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord my God, that he will bless me in the city and bless me in the country. And all these blessings are going to come on me as I obey his voice. I looked to the truth. I replaced the lie with God's truth. That God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Hallelujah. There's some people, they have, moving on to different thoughts, some people have thoughts of marital failure. I really hope my husband always loves me. I really hope my husband's gonna, you know, because you maybe grew up in a home where it was a split marriage. Your parents didn't stay together, and now that's just bombarded your mind, and you're gripped with paralyzing fear that your marriage, that there's some sort of curse that's going to follow you into your marriage, that eventually, even though you have a good man, you have a good woman that's faithful, that loves the Lord, that eventually good things don't last, brother. Some people, every thought they have literally is rooted in the demonic soil of good things don't last. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. The goodness of the Lord, Psalm says, the goodness of the Lord endures continually. Some people, they've been just trained. They've been trained. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. I want to rewire your brain to think like God. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to the patterns of thought in this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you can know the acceptable, perfect, and good will of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, put off the old man and put on the new man by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Marriage isn't going to last. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that what God brings together, nobody can bring to separation. My Bible says, he that finds a wife or a spouse finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. There's favor on my marriage. Yeah, sure. I may have grown up in a broken home. My father, not myself, my parents are still together, but I'm saying maybe this is you. You grew up in a broken home. Your father and mother aren't together anymore, and they hated each other. All you ever knew growing up in your home is fights, and eventually the husband cheated on the wife, and it's just been hell like on earth. No, there's no family reunion. You never even knew a Christmas together. And now you're just in fear, living with the possibility, thinking of perhaps this is how my marriage is going to end up. That's a lie. That is a demonic strategy to get you not only to like be afraid of a marital collapse, but to never even enjoy the marriage you have right now. Why expect tragedy when the Bible says expect blessing? Why expect misery when the Bible says expect mercy? Why expect trouble when the Bible says to accept God's help as a very present help in times of trouble. Why expect marital failure when the Bible gives you a blueprint for marital bliss? Hallelujah. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So, point number two essentially is to take the deception of the enemy and replace it with the prescription of God's word. Now, number three, and I'll finish with this. What do you do now? So now you've learned the new word. You've learned the truth. You've learned God, because everyone has an opinion on a matter. The devil has an opinion. You, your mind has an opinion. Your mother-in-law has an opinion. But God has an opinion. God's word is God's opinion. You've now learned God's opinion on the matter. You're choosing to believe it. But what do I do now? Do I just let it sit here and just squint my eyes and close my ears and say, God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful. Like a lunatic? No. Here's how you can practically reform your thoughts. Number three, form a new confession now in light of what God's word says. Form a new confession. The Bible says life and death is in the power of your thoughts. The Bible says, as you have spoken in the hearing of my ears, so shall I do unto you. The Bible says that we have in the same spirit of faith, even as they did, they believe and therefore spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So faith is not just in the heart. What you have rewired in your engine over here, let's say this is the computer programming, hallelujah. Let's say this is the software, let's say, or the hardware rather. Let's say this is the computer CPU system. It's the desktop. It's that box. It's your MacBook Pro system. Well, you can have everything right here, but if you want to enjoy YouTube or music on your computer, you have to connect a sound system, to the software, to the hardware. You got to connect the speakers. And that's exactly what this third point does. You have to connect your speaker to your believer. Hallelujah. You got to connect your sound system to your newly adopted belief system. Sure, I believe what God says, but now I'm going to speak what God says. I'm going to use my mouth to prophesy my future in light of what God's blessing paints for my life, and I'm going to quit using my mouth to be a prophet for the devil's purposes in my life. I'm going to look to the valley full of dry bones. And even though I don't see anything move immediately on the outside, I'm going to keep declaring the word of the Lord. And I know there's going to be a rattle. There's going to be a bone coming to bone. There's going to be an evident manifestation of what I'm confessing, because God's too faithful to fail. Hallelujah. So one, you've identified the source of the thought. It's depressing, it's anxiety, it's whatever, it's not faith building, it's not strength giving, so I know that's not God. Two, I have now removed the lie by replacing it now with scripture. I've located Bible promises. I would suggest to locate at least 2 to 3 evident, clear Bible promises that guarantee what you're maybe struggling in your mental process in terms of your thoughts. Struggling within your thought life, takes 2 or 3 scriptures to now rewire that thought with God's thoughts. But then number three, we finish off by not just letting it dwell in here. Like David said, I will meditate within my heart on my bed, my fire will burn, and then I will speak with my mouth. Hallelujah. Now you use your mouth to declare the report of the Lord. You use your mouth to declare the opposite. Start to see and say yourself living long. Start to see yourself living long and start to talk about yourself living long. A new confession. Here's a practical way. A practical example of what I'm saying. You have the fear of premature death. You've replaced that thought with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40. The confession can look like this. I thank you, Father, that because you said in your word that with long life, You'll satisfy me. And you said in your word, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, and the years of life shall be many to the righteous. I thank you that I'm going to see my children's children's children. I thank you that I'm going to live to no less than 100 years old. I thank you, Father, that if Jesus should tarry, I'm going to be preaching and having the biggest meetings our ministry's ever had in my 90s up until my 100s. Hallelujah. If it's poverty, that you have fear of poverty, thoughts of poverty that domineer your mind, well, we've located a new opinion on that from the Word of God. We've located God's truth on it. My God's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. The Bible says that these blessings will overtake you and come upon you as you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So what's my new confession? Father, I thank you that I'm blessed to be a blessing. I thank you, Father, that wealth and riches, in accordance with Psalm 112, wealth and riches are in my house. I thank you, Father, that the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and I have no sorrow added to it. I thank you, Father, that your El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the God who supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. I thank you, Father, that these hands will never lack, will never be dried up. They'll always have overflow in my life, and my children will benefit from it too. See what I'm saying now? See how that can be very practical in what we're trying to bring forth today? So I want to challenge you here. See yourself living long. See yourself living healthy and strong. See yourself being prosperous. See yourself being joyful. I use this example a lot, and I'll finish with this story. John Osteen's wife, Dodie Osteen, who's 94 years old, I believe today, 94 years old, was given a cancer diagnosis at 41 years old, 1981. And she was given 6 weeks to live with metastatic cancer of the liver. She was 87 pounds, I believe she was. She looked like she was dying. Pale skin, yellowed skin because her liver was not functioning properly. She went home after she got that diagnosis and she pulled out her Bible and wrote down 40 scriptures. She wrote down 40 scriptures. You don't think she had thoughts? Horrible thoughts? I think she has 3 or 4 kids. My kids growing up without their mother, because they were younger then. You don't think she had all those thoughts coming to her mind? Of course she did. But you know what she did? She wrote down 40 scriptures that she located from the Bible, and then she ripped down every mirror in her house, because every time she looked in the mirror, it would stimulate the thought of death, because she looked like death. And she put up instead frames. And in each frame was a picture of her doing something she loved doing. Riding a horse, a picture of her in Italy with the Tower of Pisa as she was there with her husband years before. She put up pictures of her and her children, Christmas time, unwrapping gifts. She put up every picture that brought good thoughts to her life, that stimulated encouragement in her life, and she put that all up. Well, that did something to her. Because anytime the devil tried to weasel his way in, she'd just look at the thought. She'd just look at the picture on the wall, and then she'd pull out her scriptures every morning and every night, and she'd, out of her mouth, she'd declare the word and then form a confession around the word. Well, she's 94 years old today. She was supposed to die in 1981. It's 2023. And the Lord has kept her alive and preserved her. And she won that victory. But she won the victory out there by first winning the victory in here. I want you to take inventory of the thoughts that dominate your mind today. In conclusion, do they reflect faith? Do they honor God? Are they building you up or are they tearing you down? Are they full of worry or are they peaceful? Are they self-deprecating or are they self-motivating? Are they inspiring you to be more like Jesus and to believe him for more? Or are they inspiring you to do the opposite? The battle for your life is lost or won in your mind. Don't give the devil a foothold. Gain dominion today in the area of your mind. I'm going to pray for you right now that every stronghold, every ochumera, like we talked about today, every pattern that has developed into a stronghold of thinking in your mind that you've not been able to shake, that every one of those is going to break down here and now as we pray. And God's going to give you a brand new slate, a clean slate, like opening up a new book. And from today, your mind is going to begin the process of renewal, where you start to think on God's holy thoughts concerning you, your family, your finances, your health, and everything God's called you to do. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, every stronghold of the mind representing of those watching right now, anything that the devil successfully led them to believe in terms of his deception, whatever represents a lie, in Jesus' mighty name, I take authority over that stronghold of the mind. And like the Bible commands us to do, we cast it down. We demolish it. We level it out. We destroy that stronghold today in Jesus' mighty name. And I command that mind to be opened, that prison cell of the mind to be opened, that demonic chain that's just confined that mind from thinking God thoughts. In Jesus' name, those chains get severed today. And I speak the freedom of the Holy Ghost on that mind. That foul spirit of heaviness lifts off your life today. In Jesus' mighty name, receive peace of mind today. Receive freedom from depressive thoughts. Receive freedom from anxious thinking. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. And I command the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus from today onward. If you're watching me right now and you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do so with me right now. There's no other way. He is called the Prince of Peace. You cannot have peace outside of him. You can try and get peace from money and alcohol and drugs and all that. It ain't going to do anything. Jesus himself is the one who said that if you'll drink of my water, meaning if you'll come to me and feed off me, it'll actually be in you a wellspring of life that bursts forth into everlasting life. A wellspring of life. Every other well you try to dig up will be dry. Jesus is the well of life that will never run dry. Give your life to him. Come to me, Jesus said. If you've been weary, heavy laden, burdened down by anxious thinking and living, he said, I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy, and my burden, it's light, and you will find rest for your soul. Make today the day where you can put your head to the pillow at night and know that you have peace with God. And not only peace with God, but peace from God. Peace from God. A peace the world can't give you because the world doesn't have it to offer you. A peace that comes only by the hand of Jesus Christ. If you're watching me right now and you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that with me now. If you have, but maybe you've fallen back. Maybe you're not living like you know you should. Maybe you have entertained a life of sin in recent time. Maybe you got off track. Maybe you're not standing with your waist girded with truth and your lamp burning. Maybe that fire that you used to have for God, that zeal, that passion, has kind of faded away. And you need renewal. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Do this with me right now. Pray this, both if you follow any of those two categories, pray this with me from the bottom of your heart. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. Fill me with your spirit. Where I was weak, make me strong. Forgive me of all sin. I renounce this world. I receive Jesus Christ. He is Lord of my life. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. I'm not the devil's property anymore. I belong to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I would love for you to join me on Salvation. The link will pop up on the screen, salvationnow.ca. Go visit that link. The first link, that the first option or button that pops up is I just got saved. Click that. Fill it out. I want to get something to you, a package free of charge, just a way of saying welcome to the family of God, a Bible, some books that are going to help you in this new walk with the Lord. Go and do that right now, salvationnow.ca. I just got saved. Look forward to hearing from you.
Stay connected with us by visiting us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook by searching at TJ Malkanji, or visit us online, www.salvationnow.ca. God bless you, and until next time.